We will pick up from where we left off last week. Are you a believer or are you an unbeliever? And as far as I can look, all of us here are part of the body of Christ, and we would respond by saying, I am a believer. Probably we are, but this lesson will help to give us a better standard to judge by. In our first lesson, we noticed that it was not at Abraham's initial faith or belief that he was considered righteous by God. But when his faith produced the works of obedience, that is in Genesis chapter 22. That was, brothers and sisters, Abraham's initial faith or belief is stated in Genesis 12. 1-3, and Genesis 15, verse 6. That is initial faith in God. But it takes another 45 to 50 years before the Almighty God considers his faith genuine enough to make Abraham a righteous man. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was put to his account for righteousness. In the lesson last week, we showed that when he believed, as stated in Genesis 12, verse 1 through verse 3, and stated in Genesis 15, verse 6. It was not at that time. Even though the Bible says that and indicate that the Almighty God gave Abraham a directive, and Abraham moved on that directive. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? The Almighty God going to use the next 45 to 50 years to put Abraham's faith to the test. And it was not until he, out of belief in God's word, took step to cut the throat of his son, to offer him on an altar to God. It was then the Almighty God said, no, I know. No, I know. Throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, the testimony of inspiration in reference to Moses is all good and positive throughout the Bible. Literally, all the testimony about Moses from inspired writer, 95 to 99% of it was good and positive. Just as let us run to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 2 and verse 5. That's about Moses. Let us hear it.
Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? As also Moses was faithful in all his house.
Moses was faithful in all his house.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses verily was faithful in in all his house.
Here again in the same chapter. And Moses verily or truly was faithful in all his house.
As a servant.
As a servant, that is, as a servant of God. So here, this is just a summary or a nutshell of comment from inspired writer in reference to Moses' faithfulness. May I? The Almighty God used Moses as his ambassador and as his agent. That is God's ambassador, God's agent to the greatest secular, economic, and military power then. That was Egypt. God used Moses as his agent to Egypt, to Pharaoh. The Almighty God used Moses to silence the magicians of Pharaoh in Egypt. The Almighty God used Moses to put the fear of God in Pharaoh of Egypt. The Almighty God used Moses to divide the Red Sea. The Almighty God used Moses to subdue Gentile nation upon nation as they go through the wilderness. But with all of these great accomplishments, Moses, one cherished desire throughout Moses' life, working for God, Moses had one cherished desire, and that was having led the children of Israel out of slavery through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, that Moses would get the chance to conduct the children of Israel into the promised land. That was Moses' ambition, Moses' goal, Moses' objective. All of his life, from the Almighty God introduced Moses, that he, the Almighty God, had a plan to lead the children out of slavery in Egypt and lead them to a better place and freedom. Moses wanted to be the person who led them to that promised land. Listen, Moses' own word in Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 23 through 27. Let us hear it. Moses' own word in respect to this goal, this objective that Moses wanted so much. Let us hear it. Deuteronomy chapter 3, from verse 23 to verse 27.
And I besought the Lord at that time, saying,
Moses speaking,
O Lord,
I besought the Lord at that time. And this is what I said to God.
O Lord God.
O Lord God.
Thou hast begun to shew thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand.
You have shown me, God, your greatness and your mighty hand.
For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy work?
When Moses reflect, remember this. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, this was when Moses had led the children close to the crossing of Jordan. Remember, when they crossed Jordan, they would be in the promised land. And this is the point. This is almost the end of their journey. But when Moses reflected on the greatness of the Almighty God in dividing that Red Sea, and some of the demonstration of God's power in the wilderness, Moses is acknowledging that there is no God in heaven or on earth that can do the things that the Almighty God did. Read on, brother.
And according to thy might, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan.
Wait. Moses is here expressing his desire. God, help me to go over. That is to cross Jordan and to see the promised land. That's you know, in life when you have one thing in mind and all the job you get and all that you do is toward that one goal. That was Moses. Moses' one goal, objective, ambition is to be the person to lead the children into the promised land. And here he has expressed it. Read, brother.
That goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me.
God was vexed with me.
For your sake.
Because of you, the Israelite. And this is a fact. Moses is not looking for scapegoat. It was the Israelite who provoked Moses and Aaron to wear their sin. A sin that deprived Moses of this one lifelong aspiration. So Moses said, read that again, brother.
But the Lord was wroth with me.
God was vexed with me.
For your sake.
Because of you. Read. What and verse is that?
Verse 26.
Read.
And would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter.
Oh my God, that's terrible. God didn't even want to hear the man. You know, you ever have a legitimate complaint, be it at the workplace or at the home or with friends or in the church, a legitimate complaint you need to say to someone, and the person who you need to say it to say, look here, I don't want to hear any of it. God said, I don't want to hear any of the matter. You see, the Almighty God knows what Moses is coming with. And because of Moses' sin, the Almighty God had already decided that Moses will not enter the promised land. That's the man's lifelong goal. Read 27.
Get thee up into the top of Pisgah.
Get thee up into the top of
Pisgah. And lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan.
Well, this is like adding insult to injury. Huh? The Almighty said, get up in the hill and look east, west, south, north. Look on the land. That make the man want to enter the land even more. You know. And God says, yes, you can only look. You will not go there. That's terrible. That's terrible. But brothers and sisters, remember, here the man was deprived of his most cherished goal because, in fact, let the Bible speak. Turn to Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through verse 12. Because that is where the sin was committed. Remember what we are discussing this morning? Are you a believer or are you an unbeliever? Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through verse 12.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
take the rod.
take the rod.
And gather thou the assembly together.
And gather the assembly together.
Thou and Aaron thy brother.
You and Aaron your brother.
And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes.
God told Moses to speak to the rock in the presence of the Israelite.
And it shall...
Wait, brother, wait. That is a clear command. That is a plain command. That is not ambiguous or vague. Speak to the rock. Read on.
And it shall give forth his water.
The rock shall give forth. Notice how the rock is personalized. It's not that the rock shall give forth its water, but the rock shall give forth
his water.
His water. Like a person. Because the rock represents Jesus Christ. Read on.
And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock.
You shall bring forth water out of the rock. By you speaking to the rock according to my command, the rock will send forth water so that the Israelites and their cattle can drink their food. Read on.
So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord.
Moses took the rod from before the Lord.
As he commanded him.
The implication there is that this might be Aaron's budding rod. Read on.
And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together.
Moses and Aaron gathered the people, the congregation of the Israelites together.
Before the rock.
And
he said unto them.
And he said unto them, the Israelites.
Hear now, ye rebels.
Hear now, you rebels.
Must we fetch you water out of this rock?
Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Read.
And Moses lifted up his hand. And with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also.
Read on.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
God now enter the picture. Read.
And Aaron, because ye believed me not.
What, brother?
Because ye believed me not.
But, Brother Mitchell, no, you just list some great things that God used Moses to accomplish. Believe me not. You mean Moses? Yes, because you believe me not. Could that be Moses, who was God's spokesman to the Pharaoh of Egypt, who silenced the magician of Egypt, who led Israel across the Red Sea, who conquered Gentile nation upon Gentile nation? All these great accomplishments God used the man for. And yet now God is saying, because you believe me not. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's not just one sin Moses committed there. Read for us again, brother, what verse you have just read there.
Verse 12.
Verse 12. Yes, verse 12 is the verse I think I need. Read it.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Because ye believed me not.
No. Verse 11, I think I need.
Verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand.
Uh-huh.
And with his rod, he smote the rock twice.
Notice. One. Moses was told to speak to the rock. Isn't that plain? You see, brothers and sisters, we must not only look on Moses some 1,500 years before Christ. We must also look to ourselves and in our society, where the Almighty God speaks plainly on many subjects. And men and women just push the Bible one side and doing their own thing, not realizing that there will be terrible consequences. You see, the Almighty God told the man, speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock. The Almighty Moses referred to the children of Israel as rebels. Now, there are some truth in that. Truly, they were terrible people. In fact, God himself. Remember, the Almighty God on one occasion told Moses, stand back, let me kill them all. God, the children of Israel, they were ungrateful, they were rebellious. Remember, these are the same people who trace off Moses and God. You led us from Egypt where we could get our leeks and our garlics and you know, and led us here in the wilderness to die. Same people then. Tracing God off and Moses. So they were really terrible people. Moses, the Bible tells us, was meek above all men. That is, Moses was a person who was always approachable. Yet the Israelite provoked that man. So when he called them rebels, he's not so far off. Because remember, Moses was the same one who begged God, reason with God, say, God, if you kill them all, will not the Gentile nation said you led them out of Egypt, but you were unable to accomplish what you started? What a great man. Reasoning with God. Yet, when he did this in vexation, when Moses says, God was wroth with me because of you, that's a fact. We don't have time to get into that. Leading in God's business is great responsibility. Truly. 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 Okay, and thirdly, watch here now. What he said, brother?
Must we fetch you water out of this rock?
The we referred to him and his brother Aaron. You get it? They did not glorify God. They did not sanctify God. It was not Moses and Aaron that gave the people water. It was God. Must me and my brother fetch you water? No, Moses, you are wrong. So listen to God again in verse 12.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not.
Brother Michel, what does that have to believe? You see, we are not going to be able to get into that today, but you see, this passage shines a lot of light on being a believer or an unbeliever. I'll say a few more and then the lesson will be yours, but okay. Because he believed me not, read.
To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of
Israel. May
I,
brothers and sisters, this business of sanctifying God is important not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. We are told in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we should sanctify the Lord God in our heart and be ready to give an answer to every man who asks us a reason concerning the hope that is in us. We are told that if any man speak, he should speak as God's oracle, that in all things God might be glorified or might be sanctified. The word sanctified means you must let the Almighty God have his special place that belongs only to him. Don't treat God as common. Wait. It means that worship, if it is to God, we must not treat it any and anyhow. Whatever we do in worship, we must be sincere. We must be willing. We must be genuine. And we must be do it to God, for God. When we plan to come to worship on Saturday night, we must remember we are coming to give God his due. The song that we sing to God, due to him. Listening to his word, we must do it in sincerity. Taking the communion, giving of our material wealth, all of this, we must do it willingly and within ourselves acknowledge that it belongs to God. It is God's due. That's part of what it means to sanctify God. The Almighty God killed Nadab and Abihu because of the same sin of not sanctifying God. God killed them instantly, and remember, they were killed at worship. The Almighty God says, because you believe me not. How can that be said about Moses? Brothers and sisters, this lack of faith or unbelief led to other sins, as I've pointed out. Other sins and failures, his words in vexation to the Israelite. That was wrong. His action in hitting the rock twice, not just once. When we pick up on this lesson, in fact, I'm not even sure it will be dealt with during this period. I'll be showing that the significance of Moses hitting the rock. The rock stands for Jesus Christ. The rock represents Christ. All of us here should have heard something sometime in the past about this smitten rock. But you see, the rock need not be smitten twice, because that would imply that the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ is not sufficient. The Almighty God had previously told Moses to smite the rock. Now he told Moses to speak to the rock. The rock had already been smitten. No, Moses came and smite the rock, hit the rock twice. That has a lot of significance, but we will not get into that now. He failed to glorify the Almighty God by his action before the Israelites. So from God's estimation, who is a believer? Who is an unbeliever? When we come back to this lesson, we will be showing that a believer is not one who merely believes in God or in the existence of God. That you believe that there is a God, that does not make you a believer in God's sight. And there are quite a few passages we are going to read, just one of some half a dozen passages that will help us to understand that in God's sight, merely believing that there is a true God does not make us believers. Let us hear Romans chapter 11, verse 20 and verse 32. Let us hear it.
Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off.
Stop there. You know who this is talking about? The Israelite. The Apostle Paul here is reasoning with the Gentile Christian at Rome and telling the Gentile Christian, watch out how you behave yourself as part of God's people. Because remember, God had some people in the past, the Israelites, and they were broken off, they were cut off. Why? Because of unbelief. Who, the Israelite? Yes. Cut off because of unbelief. But the Israelites were believers in God. Yes. But their conduct did not match God's definition of being believers. That was verse 20. Verse 32.
For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all.
The Almighty God concluded that both Gentiles and Jews, who were supposed to God's people, they were all under the condemnation of unbelief. That you and I have been baptized, etc., etc., does not mean that God sees us as believers. And if you have no other example, Moses is a good example. God said to Moses, because you believe me. We will get more into all of that when we pick up on this lesson next week, if God is willing. But in the meantime, examine yourself. Am I a believer in God's sight, or am I an unbeliever? There's much more to be said on this subject and quite a few passages to be shared with you as we use this lesson to help us understand how we stand in the sight of God and why the Almighty God used the warning we have just read in Romans to warn the Gentiles that they must not become unbelievers like the Jews who were cut off. Thank you.